Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Not getting enough Triple M footy? Or did you miss something and need to go back and have another listen? Get the Triple M NRL podcast. It's available right now on the Triple M NRL app.
All right. The weekend is here and this is it. For Ream Hot Water, we are
Triple M Footy.
Nice to be with you on this Saturday afternoon. Just 2 hours to share. Sterler will join us at roughly 2:30. See what his week has looked like, who he likes in the rest of this round. We're also going to catch up with Joss Mansur very shortly, AJ Brimson after a crucial Titans win, Dobbo again very shortly, the Brisbane correspondent, all ahead of us. Bankwest Stadium, as we said on Thursday night, the Panthers got the win that they desperately needed over the Parramatta Eels, the disappointing Parramatta Eels. You called that game, Wendell?
I most certainly did.
Yeah, right, okay. Yeah. Anything missing in your life? Like, literally missing in your life? Just wondering.
Yeah. I left something behind the other night at Bankwest Stadium.
You left your phone behind?
Yeah, I left my phone behind. I was in a rush to get home.
Yeah.
I wanted to get home and see the wife and that, like, at 11 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then, I left my backpack there.
Did you leave your backpack there?
Backpack. Yeah.
Have you mentioned that to anybody?
Yeah. I rung Dave. I told Dave.
Okay. Have you noticed anything about the backpack? Have you got it back?
No, I haven't yet, but I'm seeing Dave this afternoon. Why? Mm-hmm.
Nope. Was there anything in it? The backpack? Or value?
Oh, there was a watch in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you seen the watch?
No, but if it's in there, it's fine.
It might be gone.
It's... Why would it be?
I noticed Anthony just came in here and reached right across in front of you with wearing a watch. He's had it for how long have you had it? Look at that.
How much
is that watch worth?
I don't know. I'm not about money, but it's a tag watch. And to be honest, I forgot until today that it was actually in the bag. Because when I left it there, I just said to Dave, I said, oh, look, I'll pick it up Saturday, mate. There's nothing really. Got my wallet, got my keys here. Yeah, I'm fine. So, yeah.
It's worth a fair deal of money.
You forgot about that watch.
Yeah.
Or how many do you have?
Well, I have just a couple. I used to be sponsored by Tag. So, but I was taking that in to get, a little.
Can you get one for me?
Not anymore. I'm not as famous as I once was, but yeah.
Emma, remember your sponsorship was just around that heel bar.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Your Lactol, please come along and be my sponsor.
I love it. And I understand next week, because a lot of listeners after last week have called through, very, very concerned about what's going on in your relationship and whether Zach Bailey is at any point going to ask you a very key question. Now, you've just let slip that there's something happening next weekend, Emma Lawrence.
It's a trip away, but it's not just with Zach and I. It's with my family. So, no, don't get too excited, guys.
It's the perfect setting, though, isn't it, up there
with
in
your
the
family
Hunter Valley?
Around?
Yeah, I think so.
Of course.
Yeah. Where are you going?
To the Hunter.
Hunter Valley, beautiful. Like Pecolvin, you're going to go to the Broken
Yeah, we'll
Woods.
Do some. Yeah, my sister-in-law, Catherine, and my brother have, I think, booked a few things in.
Beautiful.
They said, what do you guys want to do? And I said, up to you. You book it all.
So you don't see that this is the perfect opportunity at some point in the afternoon, on the Saturday afternoon, perhaps, after listening to this show. Zach may fall down on one knee between the vines at Broken Woods. Beautiful there at Broken Woods.
Yeah, I bet.
Lift up the little case, opens the ring, and then because the family's already conveniently gathered that evening, you go, I don't know, into Broke, lovely little town. He's organised. He's got the local community hall, I understand, booked out.
Have you had one of your weddings there, Tony, have you?
Well, actually, if he buys you that big rock that you want, he will be broke, that's for sure. You know what I'd be doing?
I've never said... There's a certain ring I want.
Okay.
I wouldn't even know.
But I've been there with my wife for a weekend. I would actually get, for you, the hot air balloon, like go that Sunday morning
nice.
And then propose. Would you like that? That'd be nice.
Yeah, what would you do?
I don't know. I haven't thought about it, to be honest. I did that. I did mine like 10 years ago now, so.
15 sure or 10. It's 10, but it feels like 15.
Maybe it's 11. I can't remember.
Yeah. Whenever you go away, everyone says... That's when it's going to happen. My sister got engaged last year and they were over in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere.
Okay.
Tuscany, perhaps.
So you're hopeful?
Perhaps. Yeah. I'm not.
If it's happened before 3 o'clock next week on the Saturday.
I would make sure.
You call.
Maybe my dream would be to get engaged live on this show.
Oh, come on. Like, that's
where to make dreams happen.
That would be your dream.
No, it really wouldn't. But you mean a lot to me, guys, but probably not that much.
Then could you, like, get married at halftime of a game, maybe? Honestly? Oh, that would be hitched at halftime. It's a terrifically romantic idea.
At Brookvale. Or maybe go to Bank West and really upgrade.
Yeah. Or, like, I'd pick Leichhardt Oval.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you would do,
of course you would. All right, we'll keep you informed of that next weekend, whether the proposal does indeed happen. Josh Mansour joins us next. Saturday Triple M and NRL. Yeah! 16-10, the Panthers got the win on Thursday night. And a man, of course, who did the job for them, Josh Mansour, joins us right now. G'day, mate.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, very, very well, thank you. It wasn't pretty on Thursday night, but it was a win. Did you sleep a little bit easier?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely, yeah. It's obviously been a rough start to the year and, you know, things haven't gone our way. But saying that we really worked hard to get that win, it wasn't easy. But, yeah, definitely stepped easier, that's for sure.
Hey, Source Kurtz, mate, congratulations on the win. How's your season been? Obviously coming back from the from that pretty horrific injury last year, Bart, and then obviously Ivan making the decision 2 weeks ago to put you back in the Canterbury Cup. But you responded the other night. And, hey, how do you feel you're tracking?
Yeah, and obviously hasn't been one of my best years, obviously. But saying that, yeah, round one I kind of had end up stuffing up my left shoulder, which kind of I carried throughout the beginning of the year, and I think it's really played on my performances, and I got to a point where it ended up getting me dropped. So I didn't want to use that as an excuse, but definitely has been playing a major part in the way I've been playing. And I think the biggest thing I wanted to take out of playing Reggie's was just, you know, having fun, doing my job the best way I could, and hopefully getting to the first grade side in the following week. And I thought, you know, me and Reg had a good game.
Yeah, well, Sauce, I love the way that you bounce back. But even your young wing partner, is it To'o? How do you say his last name? How does he say Brian?
I think it's To'o.
Yeah. Mate,
oh, jeez. I'll say two. So yeah.
That's what everyone was saying in the ISP last year. Jimmy Smith, who called it, we were saying Brian two. And then I believe Matt Russell from Fox said he's spoken to the family and it's To'o.
Yeah, that's it. But anyway, he's playing some great football. He had 210 metres. I think you had about 190. Mm. But even for a young bloke, I know he's made a couple of mistakes last couple of weeks, but he's been really strong in that carry and he just bounces back so well.
Yeah, he's a very powerful young guy, and you know, he's full of confidence at the moment, which is great. And you know, he's taking the opportunity with both hands. So, mate, I'm really happy for him. You know, he's got a long NRL career ahead of him, no doubt. And he's been doing an amazing job for us so far.
Josh, I spoke to you on the sideline after the game, and then after that, I went over to Mitch Kenny and was able to speak to him with all of his friends. They were just, you know, screaming. It was so loud. It was awesome to see.
Unreal.
Aside from the fact that you got a win, how much does that bring the boys together and lift them to see something like that?
Oh, that's awesome. You know, yeah, any player that makes their NRL debut, it's obviously very special for them and for their family, and especially for Mitch, like, to come into the squad, you know, first game in, and to get a very important win against Parramatta at their new home ground. Yeah, it was a great night, not for him, but for all of us. And Mitch is the kind of guy that you want to play with. You know, he's tough. He works really hard in defence and in attack. And, yeah, I'm so stoked for the guy, and hopefully he can get much more NRL games under his belt.
Josh, it was mentioned earlier, that terrible injury that you had to your face. It was kind of car accident style. As for someone who, you know, can't work if they've got a paper cut, how was it for you to come back? How difficult it is, you know, coming back from injury anyway, but something as severe as that. What were, in terms of your mindset, how difficult was it initially?
Yeah, it was very difficult, to be honest. Just the way it happened, of course, being a winger in my position as well, and, like, you know, being sitting under a high ball and kind of getting my face smashed, it definitely had definitely played on my mind. You know, I had a lot of demons after it, but saying that, I just had to kind of flush that, remain positive, because at the end of the day, it was a freak accident. It was pure just unlucky at the time, and, you know, I just had to kind of get on with it. You know, I'm living the dream. I'm very grateful for the position I'm in, and I just have to keep reminding myself that, yeah, it was just a freak accident at the end of the day.
Source, you guys came into the season with a lot of expectation. The start of the season hasn't been good for you, buddy. There's been a lot of external noise through media, through fans and the like, as you would expect for a side in a position that you guys are. How's that been handled internally?
Yeah, I thought, you know, to be honest, like, the start of the season, you know, there was a lot of expectation. You know, we had a lot of disruptions in the preseason, and, you know, we're kind of, I don't think we handled it well as a team. You know, we've got a really young squad, and, you know, you could say the external pressures, you know, of the media and all that kind of has played a part, but saying that, we don't want to use that as an excuse. You know, we're a professional football team, and, you know, we just got to kind of, we've been really hunting for this win, you know. Like, you know, we go out there taking the field, not purposely losing. You know, sometimes when you're in a position like this, the harder you try, the bigger the hole gets. And hopefully, we can really build, you know, off this win, and you know, at the end of the year, kind of get that finals berth.
Well, Sauce, you can tell your confidence is back. The other night, Blake Ferguson has been on fire this year. I think he probably had his unhappiest game. But at the end, you two, you sort of let him know what the score count was. I think you ran him down twice too, mate.
Yeah, I think it was going to be a big game for myself, obviously coming against Fergo. You know, he's been one of the most informed backs in the competition so far. And, I just took it upon myself that I wanted to come out and have a good game. You know, it wasn't going to be easy, but, you know, I had a lot of help from my teammates who all played well. And, it ended up being a great night.
I would love to be a part of that sledgy, mate. I love seeing two big outside backs sledge each other. It's great.
Yeah. Mate, he started it, to be honest. He started it.
Is that what you tell the referee? Oh, he started it.
He started it, yeah.
Good on you, mate. I felt like I'm back in school.
Yeah. That's all right.
Hey, Josh, you've got a second one on the way as well, don't you?
Yeah.
Excited, nervous?
Exciting, nervous. Yeah, a lot of emotions, but definitely. Overall, we're definitely excited. We're having a baby boy in August, so we can't wait. I'm sure Danny can't wait as well. It's been a long pregnancy, but yeah, we're definitely excited.
Yeah, those 9 months ones, they're killers, aren't they? hey, Sauce. We spoke to the character of Nathan before. He's been under a hell of a lot of pressure so far this year. I think we saw what he was capable of the other night. There's talk of him now, obviously, regaining his spot or regaining his origin berth. What do you think yep. about Nathan's season, and where's he at? What's he like to play with on a weekly basis?
Yeah, he's the ultimate competitor. Like, I might be coming off a bit biased, but saying that he works hard every week. You know, all the no talent required areas, he works hard. Always kick chases. He's got an amazing. He's one of the best kickers in the game in my eyes, and. He's a player that you really want to play with. You know, I thought last series he played outstanding. Everyone noticed. I feel sorry in a way for him because, yeah, we haven't really helped him as a team. And, you know, everyone's definitely got to be pulling their weight. And especially Nathan, I thought he really did well from last game. And hopefully he can really, have another great game for us and solidify his position in the blue squad.
Where are you going on Thursday morning for the big one?
Oh, I haven't decided
He's
yet.
He's an Arsenal man. He's an Arsenal man.
Oh, okay, lovely.
Europa Leagues.
don't you need someone
on Thursday morning?
Don't you want somewhere to go?
You know, I might throw one of the boys on the bus. Robbie Farrar is apparently going to watch the Champions League Liverpool game over in Spain. So,
oh, really?
I don't know, maybe I should ask. Yeah.
Oh, they've got a couple of days off, have they? Have they got the bye or something? Oh,
I think
wow.
They got the bye, yeah. Oh. They got the bye. So.
Oh, I wonder if Madge knows about that.
Yeah. Probably not the best time to go up to Ivan and say, can I have a couple of weeks off?
Yeah. Connor Watson said he's going to Avoca Beach and Robbie Farrar's going to watch the...
Oh, it's a one-in-a-lifetime opportunity there.
Sterlo's going as well.
He's trying to get there.
Sterlo's going.
Anyway, the main game's on this Thursday. Who cares about the Champions League? It's all about the Europa League.
All right. Josh Mansour, lovely to talk to you, mate. It's great to see you back on field. It's great to see you in a winning team as well. Well played, bud.
See you, buddy.
Bye.
Thank you, buddy.
There he is. What a good man. Josh Mansour joining us right there. Speaking of good men, Ben Dobbin is going to have a chat as well. I've also got the Triple M NRL fan survey. You can help us out, 133-53 when we get there. The question being asked this week, is Mitchell Pearce the best halfback in the comp? AJ Brimson will also join us. Jeez, a stack ahead. Saturday, Triple M NRL.
For Ream Hot Water, Triple M Footy. Triple M Footy. Let's go! For Ream Hot Water.
Oh, Wendell Saylor.
Oh, wait.
Honestly,
yeah.
Wendell, your professionalism and Emma, you two, both of you are like naughty school children. What's going on?
Yeah. Oh, Emma.
Del is on fire. He just keeps making me laugh.
Yeah.
It's always just before we come back on air.
Del is on fire just before we're on air. That's a brilliant
thing. How good's that? Oh, we should have a little combo. You know when you have two naughty school kids who just want to do what they want to do?
So this is a show you would do like just in the breaks between when we're on air.
Yeah. Sometimes you get in the way of what we're doing.
A lot of people have said that over the years. That's true. All right, it is time for this.
On Triple M NRL, the best of the best.
Yes, thanks to Mongrel Boots. Mongrel Boots built for you in mind, ultra comfort for the hardest of days, the best of the best. And really, we couldn't go past the opportunity, given that it is the Indigenous round in the NRL this weekend. We've talked about this before, but let's make it specific, certainly for you, Wendell Saylor and Ryan Girdler. The best of the best Indigenous players have you've played with or against? Well, let's start with you, Del.
Oh, yeah, because I'm Indigenous.
No.
Okay. So,
because I'm looking at you and you've got a microphone in front of you.
I'm joking.
And you're on fire.
Thank you. Look, mate, I've played with and against a lot of great Indigenous players, but for me, when I was a young bloke in Serena, for me, Dale Shearer, Rowdy Shearer was a bloke I looked up to. Yeah. He used to come back and, you know, everyone knew, like, he played for Manly in Queensland and Australia, and he always had time for, you know, us young blokes at Serena Crocodiles come down and play a bit of touch football. So Rowdy Shearer, you know, was and I got to play Origin with him, which I'm very proud of. Also for me, Steve Renoff. So when I was on the wing and I got a start, they said, are you playing outside Steve Renoff? And I was just like, I was so nervous because you don't have to do too much when you're playing outside Steve Renoff because he either just goes or, you know, he makes a break and then dishes it off to you.
Even he scored those tries against the Dragons, was it 92 or 93 when they went back-to-back against St. George then? You could still go, oh, gee, that guy's great to
watch. And he had this acceleration, you know, from 0 to 100. He'd just go when he wanted to go. If you're a trainer and then you're marking him, you just go, oh, geez, I hope he's not on today. And if he just trained within himself at training. But when you got on the field, mate, he could go. And Gerds knows. Gerds played against him a few times.
He ran past me a few times.
Yeah, I know. And then I suppose the last one, a guy that I've always loved and respected, but only played with him once and against him a few times.
Are you going to name a whole team?
No. Isn't it three? Jonathan Thurston.
Since... Best do we have to name three?
Best no, best. You don't. Is it three?
Oh, sorry.
No, it's three and five.
You get sorry. Yeah. Yeah. So JT, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you guys have a go now.
Oh, thanks so much, Wendell.
He's having a good day. Isn't he? A really good day.
Listeners, you should really hear him when we're not.
You're going to be the best Indigenous player that you've ever...
that I've watched?
Watched.
Yeah.
Just one.
Just one, okay. I'd say Greg Inglis.
Yeah.
Loved watching him. Even obviously recently retired, and so going back through all of the footage of all of his highlights, and it was so good to see whether it's, you know, a length of the field try, you know, the trademark fend, and it was good to see as well all of the current and former players tweeting or putting on social media, you know, times when they'd been fended by GI. Yeah. So my favourite...
Hashtag me too.
Exactly. Yeah. My favourite highlight would be the bat back for Gaznia in that centenary test. I love that one. Yeah. So yeah.
Brilliant.
Beautiful.
Brilliant.
Okay.
Good.
All you good. Just one, mate.
I'm going to go with an old colleague of mine from my Illawarra Steelers days, a guy that I watched as I was sitting on the hill down there at Wollongong Showground and then progressed to playing next to him, and that's a guy called Ian Russell. Do you remember Ian Russell?
Yeah, Russell, yeah.
Did the Cumberland throw.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was had a massive influence on my career as I was sort of coming through the grades.
5'8" or a lock.
Mainly in the lock.
Yeah.
Classic lock, old school, like great little ball skills, great defensive player, really tough and a great guy to play with and a fantastic bloke. And he's probably him and Presto. If we're going to go for two or three.
That's two.
Okay.
Russo
just beats Presto.
Yeah. All right. They are all brilliant in that category. We should just mention
what about you?
Greg Inglis. Certainly GI is probably the top. I go back though.
You've been around a long time. You know, so let's give me someone else.
For me not to go past Arthur Beetson. I just love watching him play. He was like the way he got rid of the ball more than just the way he, you know, punched the ball up himself. He was an amazing player. Amazing player, Artie Beetson. All right, then. We're talking about GI. Our thoughts do go out to Greg Inglis. As we know, he's entered a rehab facility at the moment. And it just my mind, when it's so good that he's getting the help and support that he needs, and let's hope, and we certainly have been reassured that South Sydney's gathering around him, that, and Todd Greenberg and the NRL are doing exactly the same thing, as they should. It just puts my mind into that notion of how difficult it is for players. They're young men who in life, they're, you know, they're, from the time they're kids, really, they're fated or whatever, but they're certainly built up and they play this game of football that's an incredibly physical game. And because it's a physical game, at some point that has to end. And it ends often when these guys are in the prime of their life age-wise, yet, you know, physically, no, I'm sorry, you're not there. The hole that that must leave in a life is so difficult to fill, and I think that is an issue for Greg probably. For you guys, you've obviously gone on and done stuff and doing stuff in the media, so I guess it makes it a little easier, but did you feel that gap in your life immediately once you decided that you were not playing anymore?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think for me, I was very lucky because obviously I had the 2 years out after I was a bit of a naughty boy in rugby union, but then when I came back to rugby league for a couple of years, I did stuff in and around the community and I sort of forgot what it was like to miss the game. And then when I got the opportunity to play again, and then when I retired, when Wayne helped me retire, I had a year to get my contract, and Wayne said, well, you know, you can play, but you're probably going to be playing reserve grade, so you'll be a third-string winger. And then I had a role with the Dragons, which sort of helped me because I still got to train with the Dragons twice a week. Like Wayne would say, mate, look, I need you to train like a Tuesday or a Friday. So I was very lucky in that sense. And then I worked with their juniors through that program and did that ambassador stuff. But I had things outside of that, whether it was the footy show, whether it was my family, and that certainly helped me. But I know when I retired, I did miss it. And I had the All-Stars game, which gave me a chance to finish it off because Broncos knocked us out in the prelim. And then that was it. And I just sort of knew after that that it was going to be it. But I just think being in and around the game, but I think the way it's happened to GI, it just sort of, like sort of in a couple of months, it just sort of went bang. His body wasn't what it was.
Yeah.
So I feel, and for him, he was the best of the best. And, mate, he's done a lot of wonderful things for the game. And I'm glad he's getting the help now because long term he's got a couple of beautiful kids and just for him. And the game does help you, but you've got to want to put up your hand and help yourself, I think.
The sad thing for the way it finished for GI is he never went through that process of retirement. Like generally as a player, you know at the end of that season or whatever it is that you're going to retire. So you get to go through this process of saying goodbye to your fans, putting your jumper on for the last... I mean, it sounds a little bit silly, but when you've been doing it all your life, there's a certain way that you like to finish. And yeah, unfortunately, GI didn't have those opportunities because of the injury. So yeah, I got to do that. And then I was really keen to get involved into something straight away. And I actually thought a little bit differently. I didn't want to stay in the... I felt like I needed to get away from the game for a while, Tony, and actually get out into the real world and appreciate some different things and do some things that I wasn't able to do because from 18 to 33, you know, I was locked into this profession that was so demanding in so many different ways. I wanted to travel and see different parts of the world and get a real appreciation for time and finances and things like that and learn a little bit as well. I mean, the guys these days and... they're pretty fortunate where they've got a lot of opportunity around them to learn and that in the back end of their career or whatever part of their career it is. But that's good for some players because they can do two things at once, but you'll find a lot of players that's a distraction and they just really want to get the best out of their career while they're in it and they don't really want to think about after footy. And I was a little bit that way. I wasn't always good at doing two things at once. So I knew that when I came out, I needed to get straight into something. And parents had small business, so I'd sort of seen that and I'd sort of learned from their work ethic and knew what it was sort of a little bit about. They had news agencies, which is a 365 day a year job, so I saw the old man doing that, so I kind of thought that might be something that I could do. You could learn on the job a little bit because I didn't have any qualifications, you know, so that's when I bought the first cafe and then sort of worked tirelessly over the past, you know, 11 years on that part of it. But it was just something there that I was able to just to sink my teeth into and I was totally absorbed in it a little bit too much. Yeah. And I think, you know, anal at times, and I probably was a really annoying, you know, to work with and all those sorts of things given my background. But eventually I balanced all those things out and got to here. But I think it's super important that, you know, you find something that you're really passionate about and you sink your teeth into it ASAP.
Indeed. All right. As I said, our thoughts go out to Greg Inglis. Yeah. Right now, though, we do need to chat to somebody who had a win, again, a long-awaited win for the Titans. AJ Brimson is here right now. G'day, mate.
Hey, how you going?
Very well, thank you. Congratulations, your performance as well, but also for that side, a little bit of a pressure valve would have been released.
Yeah, no, definitely. Obviously, I think it was four straight losses, so a win like that was much needed, but no, it was good to get the win down there.
Hey, AJ, it's Emma Lawrence. Congratulations on the win. Over the last couple of weeks, there's obviously a lot of external noise within the group. I mean, how hard has that been? It's hard to, I guess, completely ignore what's being said outside.
Oh, yeah, I think it is. But to be honest, I don't really read into that sort of stuff too much. We just, like I said, we've been a bit of a slump the last month. So we've just been focusing on what we can do as a team to improve, you know, each week. And so I'm not really, I don't think really the group's really focused on anything like that. It's more just on our own performances.
Hey, AJ, it's Wendell Saylor, mate. I know that you, you know, in the 20s, you played 5'8 there and done a really good job, the Queensland 20s, but I see you play fullback. You're doing a wonderful job there. What's your favourite or preferred position to play, mate?
I think it is fullback now, to be honest. I haven't played nowhere near as much footy there. I've played my whole juniors, but I'm coming up to the ranks as 5'8", but I've only played, you know, probably 20-odd games there over 20s in NRL, but I think I enjoy that more, just not so much pressure on me to, you know, control the game or run the team. So at the moment, obviously, I'd like a bit more, you know, practice at it and a full pre-season there if I want to play there. But I do enjoy it, yeah.
The win was probably even made a little bit more special due to the fact that Jai Arrow was out. He's probably been your most consistent player all year. Do you feel like everyone just took a little bit more responsibility in that game last night?
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, that was a late blow. He got injured at captain's run, so it was a bit unexpected. But Jai Whitbread came to the starting side, and I think, like you said, everyone else kind of lifted, knowing that we don't have Jai there to, you know, kind of lead our forward pack. So I think it was a bit of a blessing.
It's nice to see when Ash Taylor gets it right, you know, 30-metre pass.
Unbelievable, right to left.
Absolutely beautiful. Yeah. It's good to have a look at that, hey?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I was stoked for him. Obviously, there's been a bit of, you know, media stuff about him, but, you know, he's a freak. And, you know, I was honestly so stoked when we scored that because I knew, you know, it was such a good pass, so I made sure I went up to him and, you know, yes, got around him and let him know that, you know, it was a good play.
But even Copley's been playing some pretty good football too. Like, when he's on Dale, he's good. He threw out the left arm, and like, the ball was still going, as you know. It was well-timed all round.
Yeah, definitely. He stuck it out, and then he had to worry about the sideline as well. So, watching it live, I didn't think he was going to catch it, but he seemed to just grasp it in. So, obviously, the boys were pretty excited. It was a good effort.
Hey, AJ, Garth Brennan, he's speaking to him. He's got massive raps on you, said, you know, you're the future of the club. I'm interested when, I guess, you were sort of growing up and coming through the grades, who's someone that you looked up to or modelled your game on? Who was maybe your hero?
Growing up in Brisbane, it was definitely, you know, Darren Lockyer, Justin Hodges, and pretty much the whole Broncos and Queensland origin team, to be honest. So,
thanks, mate. Wendell Saylor?
Thanks, mate. I appreciate it. No, yeah, mate, I'm a winger. No.
So I didn't really have one player that I tried to pick my game off. I just kind of just enjoyed watching footy. But, yeah, definitely Darren Lockyer.
Garth looked like a real happy man in the sheds in the press conference anyway, and was really happy about the fact that you guys actually played for 80 minutes, probably for one of the first times in the season. And I guess he'll be expecting a little bit more of that.
Yeah, he gets pretty happy after a win, so especially after a month like the last month we've had. But, yeah, I think it was the closest performance we've done to, like, an 80-minute performance. Obviously, we started a bit slow, but it was good to see that we came back and we had a strong second half, which is something that we've been lacking in the previous weeks.
AJ, just quickly, I know that the Origin coaches have given a few players a call and just say what they need to work on or how they're going. Has Kevvy Walters spoken to you lately?
No, I haven't heard from him lately. We had that preseason camp at the start of the year, and he told me just basically what he wants to see me doing at club level and all that sort of stuff, but I haven't heard from him recently, no.
Playing on the Goldie, obviously when you get some time off, what is it for the team? Is it the theme parks? You get along to Wet and Wild? What happens?
Is that a bar?
No, it's not a bar. It's a theme park.
I went
good
to
name for a bar
the other day, so, yeah.
Oh, good.
It was pretty good, yeah.
on our what do you recommend? Day off throughout the week.
What do you recommend?
I recommend the buzz saw. It's pretty scary, eh?
Yeah, lovely. That's what I want to hear, mate.
It's pretty scary.
Sounds like Tony's haircut.
Hey, we had Nathan Peets on the professor's late hit last night. Mm-hmm. He is very funny. What's he like to have around the group? Is he always the one that's making jokes?
Yeah, he's a bit rocks or diamonds, you know. He's the funniest in our club. And he's a massive pest, but, you know, there's sometimes those Monday mornings where he comes in, he just doesn't even want to talk to anyone. He might say hello and he'll just brush you. So, but other than that, he's funny as, and nah, he's a good fella, but you don't want to get him on his bad times. He definitely is a bit of a roller coaster.
Who's giving you advice in the background
there? Who's that?
Oh, sorry. One of my mates is just yelling in the background. Sorry.
Hey, just quickly, I ask, mate, why are they calling Joy Arrow Don Bradman? Can you tell me why they're calling him that?
Oh, please. Have you seen his Instagram?
No. Oh. I don't stalk players' Instagrams. Well, why?
She's quite pretty.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What do you think, AJ?
Oh, I honestly have no idea how he's done it.
That's so good. Oh, drop the mic.
Your job is done.
Yeah. He's doing well for himself and he knows it. So he knows he's blessed and lucky. So, he's enjoying it.
Our Don Bradman. I love it. AJ Brimson, great to talk to you. Congratulations on that win. Hope you get plenty more before the season's out.
Thanks, mate. Thanks for having me.
Good on you, mate.
Good on you, man.
There he is, AJ Brimson.
Triple M Footy for Ream Hot Water.
Wendell Taylor, Ryan Girdler, Emma Lawrence, Tony Squires with you. Still plenty to come. We'll catch up with Dobbo, find out what's going on in the world that is Queensland. Peter Sterling will also join us. We'll get his thoughts on the round so far. Nathan Cleary as well. Now, look, the Triple M NRL fan survey, 133353 is the number. We are going to go to there. I just want to remind you that I gave you the wrong specific question before.
What do you mean?
Well, I said the question was, is Mitchell Pearce the best halfback in the comp? Which is a valid question.
Yeah.
Good question, but it's not the question.
Oh, what's the question then?
The question actually is, should Mitchell Pearce be picked for State of Origin? It's a very different question.
Yeah.
I thought you were a professional, Tony.
No. That's somebody else you're thinking of, not me at all. So that is your Triple M NRL fan survey. Right now, though, it is time for this.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up.
The Triple M NRL stock market.
Moving slightly into the Queensland side for the first thing I'm going to throw at the stock market for you. Moses Mbai. Now, there is an injury. Let's take that out of the equation. Moses Mbai, because the word doing the rounds is that he's going to get picked for the Maroons. If he's picked Moses Mbai, he's going to do the job. He is the man for the Maroons. Wendell Saylor, yes or no? Are you buying? Are you selling?
I'll let Moses as a player, but for me, I'm not buying. Yeah, I just think there's other options. And I just think the last couple of weeks, he's played some consistent football. But before that, there was talk of him getting dropped, and I just don't know. And Origin's a different beast altogether. I'm not saying that when he's at his best, I know he could handle it because he has played hooker before. He's played, you know, in the halves, he's played fullback, so he's a perfect utility. But for me, it's no bye-bye for me.
Okay, selling. What are you doing?
No bye-bye.
Yeah, no, I'm not buying.
Not buying?
Yeah.
I'm not buying either.
Really?
I don't think we've seen enough from him. So far to, I guess, warrant that jersey. I mean, he's been playing okay, but there was a game before he had a good run. I forget who it was against where. Yeah, that some were saying he should be dropped even. And
yeah, it was against Roosters.
Yeah, so I don't think he's done enough.
Okay, it's a sell for you.
Sorry.
What isn't the question, though, would he do a good job if selected?
Yes, that's it.
Well, I'll buy that.
Good boy.
Because I believe that that he would. He's a great team man. He's captain of that club, and he, you know, hasn't had a great season form-wise, but I think his utility value would be really valuable for the Maroons. And I think he'd be a great guy to have around camp, and I think he'd actually be a guy to really rise to the occasion, so I'm buying.
All right, well, let's move back to the Panthers. We spoke with Josh Mansour. We talked a little bit about that win on Thursday night. As I said, ugly, 16-10 over the Eels. But I'm going to say, are you buying, selling, or holding, Ryan Girdler? The Panthers, they've turned their season around.
Well, you got to hold on this one, Tony. I mean, you know, they got Manly next week. I think the Rabbitohs and the Roosters, their next three games are telling. So it was a step in the right direction. But to say that they've turned the corner, I don't think I'd be buying into that at this point.
Okay.
I'm not buying yet either. I think, yeah, one game, not enough to tell. And the Eels, I know it was a gritty performance from the Panthers and, you know, they dug deep in defence and, you know, gave all of those one percenters, but the Eels weren't great either. So I'm holding for now.
Yeah, I'm not buying. I just think that win, that's a win they needed. I want to see, you know, two or three wins together, and I just want to see them play with a bit of, a really aggressive nature and just a complete 80 minutes. They're not even close to that at the moment. They needed that win on the weekend, and it helped that Parramatta played pretty ordinary.
Well, speaking of Parramatta playing pretty ordinary, this is a slightly tricky one for you. Brad Arthur, the coach of the Eels, was re-signed too quickly. You're buying, you're selling, or you're holding? He was re-signed too quickly.
I'm selling. Mm-hmm. So he wasn't re-signed too quickly because everyone was saying hurry up and sign him because they were doing so well and they'd put that June, said they wouldn't do it until June. And they've lost, I mean, yeah, they've lost three games, but we get outraged just from a couple of losses and say, oh, maybe we shouldn't have re-signed him. But I think it was good to, there was too much uncertainty, the distraction of all of the contracts, Gutho, Mitch Moses, BA. I think they did the right thing by re-signing him.
Okay. What do you think?
I think they did the right thing by re-signing him. Sometimes when players want to know who's going to be the coach or what's going to be happening at your organisation, I think it was a no-brainer, Brad Arthur, to re-sign. I was happy with him getting re-signed.
Yeah, I'm selling, which means I think he's the right man for the job out there. And I think, you know, they're just going through a patch at the moment. They'll come out of that. And I think he's the right man for them heading forward.
All right, there's your stock market. I just want to quickly get to the Manly and the Titans game. At the very top, you said this was the game that maybe if you'd thought a little bit more deeply, you would have selected it, given that most people are 0-3, I think, from the first three games of this round.
Yeah.
Various reasons for that.
Well, the main reason being the short turnaround. Yeah. And they still got a sort of a young side and a lot of injury. The desperation from the Titans, which I guess I took that into consideration, but I didn't quite think about the fact that it was a short turnaround for the boys, for the Manly guys.
How long can Manly go? And they've done a great job. And they got that loss there. But Des Hasler's done a pretty phenomenal job. During the week, they had the photographs of the team and people going, do you recognise any of these players? They have actually so many injuries, so many players who are out. Yet they have put in every week, haven't they?
Yeah. And look, you could just tell from the opening, the Gold Coast came with plenty of intent and they were desperate. And they've started actually well, probably for the last 2 or 3 weeks, the Gold Coast Titans, and got themselves out to a good lead but have been run down. But they just never allowed Manly to settle into a rhythm. What Manly have been able to do really well over the probably for the last 6 or 7 weeks is they play really flat and fast. And when their timing's a little bit out, they can look a little bit clumsy. And their two front rowers last night usually sort of find their fronts and get a quick play of the ball, and their dummy halves are really potent from there. Then you have Jake Dubojevic usually playing, you know, play three or four. He sort of takes it to the line, passes it out to the back, and then they create numbers out wide after their big sort of mobile pack has done the damage through the middle and attracted a lot of defenders. So they just couldn't get that going on last night. And their kicking game, because they weren't going sort of so far up the field, their end of their sets were usually back on their halfway line, so their kicking game needed to be strong. It wasn't. They were defensive kicks, and they've been used to doing attacking kicks. So that part of their game just wasn't on, and the Gold Coast didn't give them an inch. So that's why, in the end, they got done.
All right. Plenty to come in the next hour. We will catch up with Dobber, and Stirlo will stride in to join us. Triple M rocks the footy.
Yes, Stirlo.
For McDonald's, this is Triple M Footy.